Sometimes I get a little jealous when they leave, you know, but I, you know, sometimes it seems like half the church leaves, and that's actually a good thing. We got that many kids leaving. That's a tremendous blessing. So, let's take our Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. We usually have a week of prayer, a revival prayer time in September. And usually our, closer we get to September, I sometimes am led to focus in on messages on prayer. But we're near September, but for some reason these subjects and topics keep coming to my mind and heart. It may mean that I need to spend much more time in prayer. I know that even the men have been stirred to come and meet in the morning for prayer on Tuesday morning. And to just pray for our church and pray that God will meet with us and move. And so it may be that God is wanting to teach you a little bit more about prayer. And I I hope that maybe somehow we can aid that, even if it's in a small way. The more that we can learn how to pray, the better we pray, the greater blessing that will be for our own life in church, and the greater glory Jesus will gain from us being men and women of prayer like we ought to be. So Matthew chapter 15, the title of the message is When to Keep Asking. Now, you may already have an answer in your mind, but when to keep asking. And we're going to be talking about persevering in prayer, praying as Jesus instructs us on many different occasions, just to continue to ask and continue to ask. And when are we to continue to ask? And so notice this lesson here on persevering in prayer. Look at verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. Jesus hasn't answered her. She turns to the disciples and says, Please get Jesus to listen. Get his attention. Tell him I need help. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Seems like a negative response. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Notice, as soon as Jesus responds, she finds it a motive to ask him again. And then notice this. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this event in the life of this mother. Thank you for healing her daughter. But also thank you, Lord Jesus, for helping us to understand a little bit about what the spirit that we need to have when we pray. Lord, we often do not continue to ask you in prayer until we get a definite answer. Many times we pray about a matter and we stop praying. And we ask you for your help this morning through the work of the Holy Spirit, that we may learn a little bit more about how to persevere in prayer, how to continue to ask. Lord, as it were, sometimes even press the issue further than what we even thought that we could press it. Lord, please teach us this morning how to pray and teach us your will. And then, Lord, help us to be praying men and women that you might receive the glory and honor that you rightfully deserve. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. So as you can imagine, at our home recently, we've had a few discussions about prayer. One of the discussions I recently had with some folks at the house about prayer is, why was it acceptable for God to answer Abraham's prayer as he continued to press God? Remember, God said he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham's family was in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, a nephew. And so he said, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? God, that's not how you handle things like this. And so he asked God, Lord, if there's 50 righteous in the city, will you spare the entire city? And God said, yes, I will. And then Abraham didn't stop praying. How many of y'all would have stopped probably at that answer? Or, oh, thank you. Talking about pressing the issue with God sometimes, even when sometimes it seems like you've got an answer. Abraham didn't stop at that answer, did he?
No.
He said, Lord, if there's 55, if they lack only 5, will you still spare the city for 45? And he said, I'll spare it. There's 45 righteous in the city. And Abraham said, Lord, now please be patient with me. Don't get troubled, but what if they lack 5 more? If there's only 40 in the city, would you still spare the city? And God said to Abraham again, yes, I'll spare the city if there's 40 righteous. And then Abraham gets a little bolder and he says, Lord, you know, please don't get upset with me, but what if there's only 30? He goes from 5 to 10. What if there's only 30 left in the city? Righteous people, will you destroy it if there's 30 righteous? He said, no, if I can find 30 righteous, I won't destroy the city. And then Abraham said, Lord, can I mention one more thing to you? Can I just talk to you one more time about this? I'm not going to keep bothering you, but if it lacked 10 of those 30, and there's only 20 in the city. By the way, this is actually what happened. This happened, literally happened. Abraham kept pressing God. He said, I'll tell you what, if there's only 20 in the city, I'll spare the entire city. Fire will not fall. It will not be destroyed if I can find 20 righteous people in the city. And then Abraham does something that you and I know very little of. He said, can I ask you one more thing, God? By now, he's probably getting a little bit embarrassed, Brother Lewis. And he says, if there's only 10 righteous people in the city, will you spare the city? Do you know what God said to him? He said, yes. You can find, if there's 10 righteous people in all of Sodom and Gomorrah, I will spare everyone. And Abraham stopped praying. I almost think he could have said, Lord, if there's only 5 righteous in the city, I mean, God was really answering his prayers. We serve the same God. I don't think God was disgruntled with Abraham. I think God took great delight in Abraham saying, Lord, would you do it for this? Would you do it for this? Would you do it for this? He said, look at the faith of Abraham. He's not stopping with just one answer. He is continuing to ask me, and he rewarded that with definite answers, didn't he? And then they said, and then, Dad, what about... Maybe I let the cat out of the bag. Who asked me this? But then what about the children of Israel? I mean, they're in the wilderness and they're asking for meat. And yet God gets disturbed with their request for meat. And he will not answer them. Instead, reluctantly, he gives it to them in judgment. So when are you to keep pressing and pressing and pressing and asking and asking and asking? And then when is it wrong to keep asking and asking and asking and asking? Because it maybe end up in judgment. By the way, that's not a bad question at all. I know immediately we want to say, well, one was being for the sake of others and one was being selfish lust. We can define it that way, but even the examples we have in the New Testament, when you first look at it, it looks like it's just for selfish purposes. For instance, in Luke chapter 11, remember when the friend comes at night and he says, I don't have anything to feed my friend. So this friend was a friend to many people. He went to another friend's house, had more than one friend. That's a blessed man, isn't it? And he knocks on his door at midnight. How many of y'all like to be at your door knocked on at midnight? And he said to his friend, I've got a guest come, a friend of mine's come, a long journey. I don't have no bread to set before him. Could you give me some bread to give to my friend? And it looks like this is a selfish request, right? I'm embarrassed. I don't have bread. Would you let me give me some bread to give to my friend? And the guy on the inside, Brother Randy, says, go away. I'm not going to get up and give you any bread. And he says, hey, I really need the bread. I need, now listen, this is a lesson about how you and I should pray. It's not just about a friend that's wanting bread. God is using this and says to us, now when you pray, I want you to pray like this. And the guy said, look, stop knocking. And he said, look, I need some bread. He said, I told you, my wife, our kids, we're all in bed. I'm not going to get up and give you any bread. Finally, he throws the covers off. Said, look, nobody's going to get some sleep. This guy keeps knocking on. How many loaves do you need? Now that seems kind of selfish, doesn't it? You're waking up this guy, asleep midnight, trying to get his bread for your friend. I wonder if they were friends after that. And then we have another example of this in Luke chapter 18. Remember this example? A woman that's a widow went before a judge, and this judge, this is verses 1 through 8, chapter 18, was a wicked, godless man. He didn't care about God, and he didn't care about people much. And so she goes before the judge, and she said, avenge me of my adversary. Someone is mistreating this widow, and she needs some help from the authorities to get this to stop. And he said, woman, I don't have time to deal with your problems. Next day, court opens. She's in the front of the line again. And she said, look, I asked you yesterday, but I've got to get some help. This guy is doing me wrong. Would you please get a just judgment? I'm being mistreated. I'm being wronged, and I need some help. And he said, woman, I told you yesterday, don't come bother me. And I'll shorten the story, but she keeps going back until finally the judge says, I have seen her face too much. Whatever she needs, guys, just give her the judgment she needs and solve this problem. I'm tired of her coming every day to me and asking me about this. And God said, listen, that was an unjust judge. I am just, and I will avenge my elect that cry out to me day and night. At first, it seems like a friend just wants food for another friend. It maybe appeared a little bit somewhat selfish. Here's a widow that's being mistreated. Some people might even define that as selfish. But God still hears their persistent, pressing prayer. Now listen to me. That's something that many of us need to learn far more about. How to continue to press a matter with God until God gives us a clear answer to that matter. I would say most of you here this morning pray. I say most of you pray. But I wonder if most of us persevere in prayer until God gives us a definite answer. Many times we answer that prayer ourselves. Right? We want something, so we pray about it, and then we claim that we've received it, and really God hasn't spoken that at all. How many of y'all would say amen to that? We want it so bad, we hope that God will do this, so we say, yeah, I believe that God's going to do it. That is not getting an answer from God in prayer. I know God has heard my prayers before and given specific answers to me when I pray. Amen. I know that. When I pressed something and pressed it and pressed it and pressed it, and God said, here is the answer. I know what it's like to get an answer from God, and I trust many of you know what it's like to get an answer from God. So I think some of these stories help us to learn how to persevere in prayer and what to persevere about. Notice, first of all, in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 8, there is perseverance for provision. Now, the bread here the friend needs can have spiritual applications as well, but one application it certainly has is if there is a need in your life, you need to keep asking God until God meets that need. Amen. If there is a need in your life, you need to keep asking God until God clearly meets that need. And listen, one of the negative things about living in America is that there's such a land of plenty that we have so many different avenues to go to before we get to God, asking God to meet our needs. I thought I would get a little better amen than that. That's true about America, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, even us, if we're lacking something, how many of you have many different resources if you're lacking something?
Yeah.
I mean, and just look at people's credit card bills. You know, if I need something, MasterCard will help me, or Visa, or, you know, and we'll just run those things up and never ask God at all to meet our needs. And because we can do this, a lot of times we don't persevere when there's a need in our life. We just go to another source instead of God, and we are deficient spiritually because we do that. You know, in the model prayer, and even in Luke chapter 11, it's mentioned. One of the things that we're to pray for is, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
Now, why would God, in the model prayer, tell us, when you pray, I want you to pray like this, along this, let me give you an outline. Worship God. Desire His will, and then what's one of the first requests? Give us this day our daily bread. He's doing that because what He wants all of us to understand is we, even in America, are still dependent on Him to give us what we need. You know, sometimes you hear these scare rumors. How many of y'all can remember a while back they were saying, like, because we were going ethanol with corn, there's a shortage of corn, and because that crops were flooded, that the stores in the our grocery stores might not have stuff on the shelves, and you know,
yeah.
And I thought we don't know how close to that we are, right? We think as Americans, hey, no problem. There's always going to be stuff there. That's not the case. We are still dependent. And let me just make it personal for you. You are dependent on God to meet your needs as well. You say, preacher, you don't know. I'm strong. I can do anything. If I have to dig ditches and make money, I can do that, preacher. What if God lays you flat on your back and takes your strength away and you can't even dig a ditch? You say, preacher, does that happen sometimes? It doesn't just happen sometimes. It happens a lot of times. I was working late one night in May 2nd, 1996, 9 o'clock at night. Me and another man named Tommy had finished up our last job. We were heading back to the shop. And on Schindler and Hips, I was coming down Schindler and the car was coming down Hips, and there's a stop sign there, and the young lady run the stop sign, T-boned my truck, flipped the truck, threw me out. I broke my right femur. My back was broke. I went from a man that could install heavy tubs by himself to someone who had to stand and watch his wife load the 50-pound bag of dog food in Walmart while other men looked at me like, you lazy bum, you. You're letting your wife put dog food. I almost broke my back again because it was so embarrassing. You know, I stopped going to Walmart with her. So I'm not going to be embarrassed. But I went from being 27 years old strong to weak, to not even be able to get my foot off the bed. And that can happen to you as well. And every day of your life, you ought to thank God that you can have the strength to get up and go to work, because He might take it away. We are to continually ask God to meet our needs. And listen to me, our needs are more than just food on the table. There's a lot of needs that we have that are ongoing needs that you and I should be constantly asking for these ongoing needs instead of not praying about them at all, because we have the warning from James, right? We have not because you what? Ask not. There should be much more praying in our life than what there currently is. And there should be things that we're constantly asking the Father for, because He taught us in His Word to constantly ask Him for those things. Amen? More than bread, how about knowing God's will? Understanding the Scriptures.
Amen.
Being filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 18. But be filled with the Spirit. You're not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know what that verse says? It says, but be being filled with.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I asked God to fill me with the Spirit 20 years ago. I think you're probably emptied out by now. You might want to ask for that again today.
Amen.
Right? If I'm to die daily, what do you think one of my prayers are to be? Lord, help me not to live for myself today. And to live dead to self, but alive unto Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6 tells us to put on the armor of God. How often do you think we should put on the armor of God?
Every day.
Now listen to me. Be careful about this answer. How often do you put on the armor of God?
Amen.
See, I'm saying to you, our prayer list should be a lot larger, and they should be, you know what happens to us because we're so carnal and fleshly? We get bored asking for the same things over and over and over again. How many of y'all run into that difficulty in your prayer life?
Yeah.
You say, preacher, I pray about my family all the time. I don't see no changes. I pray, I mention them every day. Every day I say, God, save my loved one. Save my loved one. Save my loved one. Save my loved one. And I feel like I'm a broken record. Well, God wants you to bring those loved ones to Him continually. Amen? And then look at Luke 18. Perseverance for protection. This is the widow and the ungodly judge. She had an adversary that was troubling her. Avenging here doesn't mean that she wants him destroyed or executed. It means she wants this unjust situation made into a just situation. She wants it made right. By the way, the most oppressed people back in those days were widows and orphans. They didn't have family to protect them. Someone come in and steal their property, run them roughshod, mistreat them, and very few people would be there in their defense. So they were easy targets. And what she's asking for is not destroy him, but make this stop. Give me a just response to this. And there are sometimes problems that come in our life like that we need to persevere in prayer until God changes that situation.
Amen.
Now listen, He doesn't always do it the way we think He's going to do it.
Right.
In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, there's a fifth seal that's open. And that fifth seal is the martyrs who have been killed during the time of tribulation. And they're crying out, how long until you avenge us? Remember when we studied through Revelation? How long, O Lord, until you avenge our blood? We were killed because we followed you. And you know what the answer of the Lord was? Not long. It'll be soon. But their lives ended in this world, and yet God promised that He was going to deal with those who mistreated them in this world. They were crying out even in the altar in heaven to God to avenge them because they were done wrong. And so when it comes to protection, let me tell you another thing that's in the model prayer. It says, give us this day our daily bread. And then it goes on to say later on, and lead us not into temptation, but what? evil, and really you could say this, just to be accurate with that verse, the evil one. Now, how often should I be praying the model prayer if it says, give us this day our daily bread? That means I probably should be praying like this, along these lines, daily. If I'm to be praying daily for provision, I should be praying continuously for protection and protection from an adversary that you and I cannot handle. Now, a lot of us, I'm praying now, if you want to know, for wisdom. I want God to kind of lay on my heart why this prolonged trial, what's he trying to do in my own life? And if it's chastisement, there's something I need to correct, then I want him to say, Tommy, this is what I'm trying to deal with in your life. If it's that he's trying to toughen my faith up, I want him to toughen my faith up. I don't want this to be in vain. I want it, if that's what he's trying to do at the end of it, I want it to be strengthened far greater than what it is now. And then there's a third one there that potentially he's doing it, maybe attacked from the devil. And if it's an adversary that's attacking us, the church, and he's attacking me, then the way to resist that adversary is in the faith. Say, don't let his effort produce any results. Put him under our feet. But listen, if God is trying to purify my faith, I'm not going to be, you know, doing much good in prayer saying, you know, destroy the devil's attack on me. I need my faith strengthened. I need to know more specifically how to pray concerning my circumstance, if y'all understand what I'm saying. And so I know God's going to answer that. I'm waiting on the answer. When he answers that, I'll share it with you. How do you know he's going to answer that, preacher? Because he said, if I ask in faith, he will give me an answer. So and you need to always remember, daily there is an adversarial attack, and we constantly need to be praying, God, help me not to walk in the snares that Satan has set for me today. How many of y'all hear sometimes of big name preachers on TV that get caught up in gross sinful things? And it's always it's always just heartbreaking to hear some of that. You know, especially someone you've listened to a lot. You thought, man, that guy's really very good at that. And then you hear, you know why they do that? What happens, preacher? They stop praying for God's protection. And Christians around them may have stopped praying for God's protection for them as well. And Satan laid a snare, and they didn't even know it was there. And they stepped in it, and he snatched them up. By the way, every single one of us could be snatched up. If we don't pray, God, direct my step today so that I don't fall into the adversary's traps. So I'm to pray for provision, I'm to pray for protection. We have a terrible adversary that's out to destroy us. And also persevere in prayer for people in need. Yes. Matthew 15 is our example here. Here's a woman that has a daughter that's been demon-possessed. And she comes to Jesus, and she is not going to leave Jesus until she gets an answer. And praise God, the answer is the demon is cast out and her daughter's made whole. Amen? And so there are times in your life that you need to persevere in praying for people that are in need. And at the top of that list is people that you know who are not saved, lost, and on their way to hell. How often do you pray for unsaved loved ones? That should be a daily prayer. And I pray God gives you the experience that he gave Hudson Taylor's mother. I remember sharing that. She went away for 2 weeks, and she had more free time, and so she said, well, I'm going to devote this free time to pray for my son's salvation. He was about 17, if I remember correctly, and he was at the home, at his house, and bored. He said, I'm going to read some books, and he went to his dad's library, and he found a bunch of religious books, and he said, I don't really want to read no religious books. And so he found a little thing where there's some gospel tracts in there. He said, well, they always have an interesting story. And when it starts turning to the gospel, then I'll just stop reading that. And his mother's in prayer, save my son, save my son, save my son. And he's directed to a tract. And in that tract, it says Christ is sufficient. And the scales dropped from his eyes. And he saw that salvation was in Jesus only. And that what he did at Calvary was sufficient. And if he asked him to save him, Jesus would. And he went from not wanting to read religious books, not interested in spiritual things, to bending his knee and saying, Lord Jesus, save me. And his mother, miles away, 20 miles away, got an immediate confirmation. You don't have to pray this anymore. Your son is saved. He told his sister who'd been praying for his salvation, now don't tell mother because I want to tell mother. And her mother comes up to the house and he runs out to mother and says, mother, 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 you won't believe this. And she said, son, I know. I know. And he looked at his sister and he said, did you tell her? He said, no. She said, son, I was praying for you and the Lord gave me assurance that you were saved. And I knew at that moment that you'd receive Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
And I pray God does that for you when you're praying for your lost life. But if he doesn't do that for you, keep on pressing God with, Lord, save my lost loved one. We have the great example of George Mueller. He has a list of prayers answered within a 24-hour period of time. But he also has records where he prayed for years and years for things. And one of those things on that record is that he prayed for his brother to be saved. Every day of his life, he prayed for his brother to be saved. Could you be that faithful? Could you persevere that long? Lord, save my brother. Save my brother. God, save my brother. Save my brother. And then he died without seeing his brother come to faith in Christ. And 2 years after he died, his brother received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. God had heard his prayers and answered them. Amen? I believe the only reason I'm a Christian today is because two men agreed to pray every day for me until I was converted. I was a little bit of a troublemaker in high school. I wasn't like a violent guy. I was more of the jokester, you know. To skip school and run from people's stuff, you know. And one day we skipped school and we come across this abandoned house and we decided, you know, those windows, they look like they need to be busted out with some rocks. So me and my friends, we started throwing rocks at this abandoned house. It's run down, growing up around it. Nobody lives there. And boy, it sounded so good for a little bit until the neighbor come out and said, I'm going to call the police on you. So we all scattered like he'd called the police, and my friend and I climbed up in the attic. And then I looked down and I saw a police officer walk through the house, and I thought, oh no, they did call the police. So I went all the way to the back of the attic. My friend stayed right there in the front, and somebody must have heard something, and they got him. He said, come on down. I thought, they got him. They won't think I'm up here. I was in the back. Sitting as still as a mouse. I was not making a noise. And all of a sudden, one of the workers from the high school the flashlights started to come around the corner. And I think he ratted on me. I think that's what happened. And then I'm down there. They got me in. They're going to put me in the back of the car. I look to my friend and I say, let's make a run for it. And he says, yes. And when he said yes, I was gone. And I turned around and I was the only one making a run for it. run across the railroad tracks, and this lady police officer says, "Stop or I'll shoot." And I thought, that's a woman with a gun. I think I better stop. And they put me in handcuffs, took me back up to the school, and took me to the sheriff's office. And so the mayor of that town knew I was getting in trouble. And he called a pastor and he said, "Look, we need to pray for Tommy that he'll get saved." And they agreed to pray every day. His name was Pete Hilton. He said, and they started praying every day. You know what started happening to me? I got tired of living the way I was living. I got tired of sin. I didn't want to live in sin no more. I got disgusted with myself. I'm only 16 years old. I started thinking, man, you're ruining your life. You keep living this way, there's no telling what's going to happen to you. Where was that coming from? I never had those thoughts before. I didn't even know those men were praying, but God was pouring it on me. I got sick of my sin and sick of living the way I was living. And I was attending church, and I didn't know how to get saved. I thought in order to be a Christian, you had to be perfect. Couldn't sin, couldn't do anything wrong. And I tried that before, and I miserably failed. And I thought, there's no way I could be a Christian, because, I mean, I mess up all the time. And I've got good news for you. That's not what it takes to become a Christian. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus is how you get eternal life. And I understood the gospel one night, and the Spirit of God convicted me greatly. In that service, he said, "Tommy, if you're not saved tonight, you'll never be saved." He don't have to do that same thing for you, but he knew how he had to deal with me. And I went to the altar, and I put my faith and trust in Jesus, and he changed my heart. And all of that happened because there were two men that persevered in prayer and said, "Cast out that demon in Tommy's life. Save that sinner. Change his heart." And God will do the same thing as you continue to. How many of you pray for a loved one, you pray for them a long time, and sometimes you think, "Preacher, is anything going on here?" Any of y'all like that? That's why we have these verses like this. Say, "Don't stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. God is hearing you. God is answering. You will see an answer." Amen? Because he promised to. Right?
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, let me tell you, please come to Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
He loves you. Died on the cross to save you from your sins. There's nothing like knowing that you're saved and right with God. Amen? And so come to Jesus this morning. Christian, if there's a need in your life, a prayer need, may you come to the altar and say, "God, help me. Keep on praying about this until I get an answer." Would you do that? Let's stand for prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for this morning. And I do ask, God, that you would help us. Lord, I have all the people here need a lesson like this. I'm the first. I'm the greatest that needs this lesson. I ask you to teach me to pray. Lord, help us not to get discouraged when we're asking and asking and asking and we don't seem to see an answer. Stir our faith that we keep asking and believing that we're going to receive an answer from you. Help us not to give up. Lord, most of the things that we'll be praying about, Lord, are things that we need to continue to pray about until an answer comes. I ask you, Father, if there's some in the service that are unsaved, would you draw them to salvation this morning? Help them to see that Jesus is the answer to their heart's cry. Help them to see what they've been looking for is Jesus their entire life. And help them that they might find Jesus this morning. Please bless in the invitation. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's turn to page 275.